Yachting Monthly, Libby Purvis, June 2012. All ready for the Olympics, are we? Or in cruising yachtsman's terms, all ready to get the hell out of the sweaty, gridlocked city into the clean sea air and follow the shenanigans desultorily through marina Wi-Fi or steam radio or pub TVs in harbour? Forgive me if you actually are a keen Olympian or even the sort of club racer who admits to a wistful sidelong glance at the ripped and neurotic speed freaks down in Weymouth. Me, I just speak for those too proud, too knackered, too bored, or just too amiably uncompetitive to care very much at all what happens in Stratford. Anyway, we in the easygoing cruising fraternity feel that the Olympians are so dedicated, so narrow-focused, pampered and coached and massaged, that they have as little relationship with our sport as Bengal tigers have with bagpuss. However, since nobody gets any proper respect these days unless they've got a league table and a medal target, some of us have been working hard, at one point during an entire curry lunch down at the sailing club, to devise our own cruising Olympics. The showiest event, obviously, is fastest wife to the foredeck, the starting signal being a traditional cry of bloody jib sheet stuck again. From a standing Le Mans start buttering sandwiches in the galley, it requires the nimble female runner to get up the steps, negotiate the side deck, unhook the offending sheet, dodge any flapping, and return before the plate of potted salmon sarnies crashes to the floor as the headsail draws. The male members of the committee have requested that, like beach volleyball, this event should be carried out wearing a bikini bottom compliant with the IOC Olympic standard no wider than 7 centimetres at the hip. Except, of course, in cases where the contestant herself is wider than 107 centimetres at the hip. This, of course, runs in tandem with a less showy but very precise and skillful male event, teabag flicking from the helmsman's seat into the sea. Disqualification is compulsory for any dripping or staining of the topsides. The empty Fray Bentos pie tin discus event also challenges the male shoulder muscle groups. There is some argument as to whether it should merely be part of the cruising pentathlon, which includes chucking the kedge, washing up at 45 degrees, seagull starter cord archery moves with a gold medal for a single pull start, and the challenging semi-deflated Avon dinghy relay, generally run between Anchorage and Tesco in an onshore wind of not less than 20 knots. Fortunately for us, the ski events need not wait till winter. The low-tide figure skating squads have ample ready-made mud arenas all along the east coast, promising displays of graceful recovery, daring execution of the splits, penalties for falling over on top of the carrier bag full of eggs, and disqualification for mud in the cabin. International competition will also be extremely exciting in the 100-metre marina shower dash, given the proven supremacy of French teams in the past. And one of the spectacular highlights, as well as the thrilling hop, step and jump into the rubber dinghy, will of course be the hurdling. This last, the crowning event of the cruising Olympics, is still under fierce discussion, given the danger of injury and the argument about some contestants training in crocs rather than proper wellies. But the general view is that a hurdling course between cockpit and pierhead should always cross no fewer than 2 trawlers, 1 yawning gap, 1 iron ladder with no fewer than 3 rungs missing, and 4 gale-bound yachts. 2 of these latter must be inherently unstable centreboarders, far too small for the raft, 1 containing a newly sleeping baby and a West Highland Terrier or equivalent. Unlike other hurdling events, the ship-to-shore hurdling is generally run in the dark, ideally in rainy conditions, and requires not only speed, agility and an athlete's sixth sense for unexpected rope leads, but a graceful lightness of tread. Thumping, tripping and cursing sounds are measured by hidden microphones and may lose points. And with our designers' cunning work on uncrossable foredecks, the traversing of strategically placed cockpit dinner party obstacles should prove unforgettably exciting. What makes the Cruising Olympics unique, of course, is that there is no separate Paralympic event, since all abilities compete together. The ICOC's thinking is that none of the willing competitors is without some physical disadvantage or other. At the older age, these include hip replacements, dodgy knees, mislaid spectacles and amnesia. Among the younger contestants, nausea, innocence, unsuitable shoes and young children. Obviously, we seek a sponsor for this exciting event, but for some reason, none of them are returning our calls.